Okay, we really got to Lamed Amid Beis. We're going to have to start Lamed Amid Aleph. Okay? Now, this is very interesting Gemara, by the way. And the Mishnah was discussing that the concept of Kimle Bedrabamine, that if, but the Mishnah said that if somebody doesn't have air of chorus, and meanwhile, they rape the girl that would get chorus, so because he gets chorus, he still has to pay. Normally, if Bezdin kills you, and there's monetary damages, so there's a rule, it's called Kimle Bedrabamine. You get the bigger of the two punishments. So if Bezdin kills you, like somebody desecrates Shabbos, he gets stoned, and while you're damaging the desecrated Shabbos, you damage somebody's property, you don't have to pay. But our Mishnah said that if the punishment is not Bezdin kills you, chorus, the guru, remember, you rape the girl, you have to pay kenas. So it says, even if you rape your sister, you still have to pay kenas, even though you get chorus. But our Mishnah holds that only when Bezdin kills you do you get out of payment of money. When Hashem kills you, you still get it. So the Gemara says, this is all to exclude the opinion of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana said, just like when Bezdin kills you, you don't have to pay money. When God kills you with chorus, you also don't have to pay money. Okay? That's what we learned before. Then the Gemara asks, why does Rav Nechunya ben Akana know that? Why does he say that? Okay? So the Gemara says like this. One answer of the Gemara was Abaya, because it says, Asain, accident by people. It says, Asain, by God, heavenly accidents. So just like Bezdin kills you, you get out of payment. When God kills you, it's Xerah Shava. Okay? Because by earthly Bezdin punishment, it says Asain. When God is going to do an accident to you, it also uses the word Asain. So we learn, just like courts kill you, you don't pay. When God kills you, you also don't pay. Okay? And so the Gemara asks like this. We're going to start again. Maskiv law, Ravada Baraba, and Lamed Amid Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines in the bottom of the page.
So hold on, 30A, B1.
30A3, first column. Maskalov, Ravada Baraba. And he says, how do we know this? Because when Yaakov sent Binyamin, he said, I'm afraid, Pen Yikra'ena Asain. Okay? Which means, God will somehow kill him along the way. Okay? That was the, okay. So it says, Mimai de Chamazi Yaakov Lebonai. Altsin and Upachim de Beishamayim. How do we know that Yaakov is warning his kids about an Asain? Remember, the whole basis of this Gemara is, by Bezdin it says the word Asain, and by when God punishes you or kills you, it uses the word Asain, right? Where do we see it? When Yaakov said, I'm not sending Binyamin, because an accident might happen to him, and he might die in the hands of God. So Gemara says, how do you know that Yaakov Avinu was worried at Sinan Upachim about cold and heat, which are at the hands of God? You know, if you die from the cold or die from the heat, God is making that happen. Maybe he's speaking about Ariyev Ganva Debideotim Nimu. The whole proof is that Asin means heavenly court from Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu says, I'm not sending Binyamin because an Asin might happen. And he refers to heavenly somehow killing the kid. Right? The accident on the way. So Gemara says, how do you know Yaakov Avinu is warning about God killing the boy, Binyamin? Maybe he was afraid of robbers and lions killing the kid, which is Bidei Adam, in the hands of people, not in the hands of God. Yeah, but it's not the hand of man. It's not from Hashem. In other words, God gave the forces to the lion to kill you, but it's not directly from Hashem. Chorus is directly from Hashem. Right? But this is more similar to Bezdin killing you because it's in the hands of animals or people. So the Gemara says, do you think Yaakov only worried about lions and people? Yaakov worried about heavenly things and earthly things. And then the Gemara says like this, if you die by heat and cold, is that coming from God? It's not true. Because of Atanya, we learned to the Braisa. This is a very interesting, well-known Gemara. Hakol b'dei Shemayim, every misfortune is in the hands of God, except sickness brought on by cold and heat. Because that's the person's negligence. He should have gotten dressed up.
Are able to port?
No, he's talking about everything comes from God, except cold and heat.
Getting cold or just heat and cold?
Getting sick from cold and sick from heat.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's up to us, yeah?
Yeah. So how do you say it's in the hands of God? Sickness, dying from cold and heat, is up to us, not up to God. Shinama even quotes a pasuk for it. Seen in Pachim, v'derech ikesh, it says like this, cold and heat are in the path of the perverse, meaning the crooked people, and one who guards his soul will distance himself from them. That means you can protect yourself from cold and hot. And also, it says like this, Arye v'ganve b'nei adam ninu. This is similar to what you asked, but different. You asked, what do you mean? A lion is also from Hashem. It's not in the hand of a person. Where do we see that a lion, if a lion, God forbid, kills a person, it's coming from Hashem? Because, Amen of Yosef, V'chein toner apchia, Miyem shechar of Beis HaMikdash, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Batlus, Afal Pisha, Batlus Sanhedrin, even though Beis Din is not there to give capital punishment anymore, Abamisis Lebatl, but you can still get killed from God, like the court would kill you.
Different
way. Yeah. This is what we still learned. We're up to today. So Gemara said, what do you mean like batl? Habatl, there is no capital punishment anymore. What it means is, Ella, okay, top of Lamed, this is where we're up to. Din arba mises li batl. It's an equivalent punishment to Bezdin killing you. Similar. For instance, Mishin is chayif skila. If you were supposed to get stoned, let's say somebody publicly desecrated Shabbos and whatever, you're supposed to get stoned. I mean, there's no bezin to kill you, but what happens to you? Neifel min agag, you're going to fall off a roof. Or chayid sosu, a wild beast will trample you. Which is very similar to skila. Remember I mentioned last week, skila, they first pushed off the person off a two-story building, or tower, and then they put a stone on his head. Mishin is chayiv srefa, a person that did an aveda, that the punishment would be getting burnt by Beis Din. So even though there's no Beis Din, a nefel bedleika, either he'd fall into a burning fire, God forbid, or nachash makishay, or a snake whose venom is hot, would bite him and he'll, you know, get hot and die. Mishin is chayiv hariga, a person is supposed to get, by one of the dalid mises of Beis Din is chopping off his head. A nimsa lemalchus, either he's given over to the authorities and the authorities kill him, a list and boy mull of a robbers come against him. Mishin is chayiv chenek, a person that's supposed to get choked by Beis Din. So one of two things happen. Oy tevea benohar, either he drowns in a river where you're choking to death, or meis berunzichi. In English, you translate it quinzi. That is basically an illness that you can't breathe and you die from not breathing. So what do we see from here? The Gemara asks, how could the Gemara's question say Yaakov Avinu meant only earthly punishment, lion or people? It can't be. There's no such thing as an earthly punishment today. Even God forbid a person dies in a fire at all from God. A lion eats you up, it's a punishment from God. So how did they say it in the Gemara's original question? How could we prove that also means bidei shamayim, even when God kills you? And therefore, there's no payment. When God kills you, this is not God, this is not, and the Gemara's question was, Bidei Adam, maybe Yaakov Avinu was afraid that Binyamin would get killed by people or animals. He said, that's also from God. So what's your question? So Gemara says, Ela Epoch. You're right, turn it around. Ayyav Ganavim, he said, maybe it means a lion in Ganavim is Bidei Shemayim in the hands of God. Sinim El Pachid, exposure to cold and heat, that's bidei adam. Okay? So this Gemara has now finished this point. What is the point? The Gemara is trying to figure out Nechunya ben Akana's opinion. Nechunya ben Akana in a Braisa says that even when when Hashem kills you with Karis, it's still the din of Kimle, but Rabba Mine, you get only the bigger punishment. So the Gemara asked, where do we learn it out from? So he said, Abaye said, Asin, Asin. And therefore, just like heavenly, earthly court, when Beis Din kills you, you don't pay. When God kills you, you also don't pay. Like we learn out from Yaakov Avinu. Because he was afraid to send Binyamin, because maybe a lion will kill him, or a person will kill him, and that would be Bidei Shemayim. Okay, that's the one thing. Now the Gemara is going to answer another reason of Rav Nechunya ben Akonim. Where does he learn out that just like if Beis Din kills you, you don't pay? When God kills you, Kodesh, you also don't pay. Okay? So Rabbi says another reason. It says like this, time of the Rav Nechunya ben Akonim, the reason Rav Nechunya ben Akonim is from another place. He says like this, V'him halem yalimu ama'oretz if yasei nehem. Okay, it means like this. A guy gives his son to this idol worshipping called Melech. Melech was two fires, the guy would bring his son in between. One opinion says he actually burnt the kids at the stake. That was the type of idol worshipping they used to do in those days. So it says, what happens, im halim, Hashem says in the Pasuk, im halim yamilu yalimu eseinema ishahu, if the people of the land were like cover up for this guy, besite mizar el melech, by him giving his kid to the melech, meaning the court will not kill him. What does the Pasuk says? Vesamti ani as panai, Hashem says, I will give my time, but ishahu, into that person, ube mishpachta in his family, vichrati aise, I will cut him off. Okay? Now, so what is the God saying over here? By this Aveda Zara? Hashem says, I want you guys to know in the Pasuk, if Beis Din is not going to kill him, I'm going to kill him. So what is Hashem likening his killing to Beis Din's killing? That's what Hashem's saying. If Beis Din won't kill him, I'll kill him. Which means, me and Beis Din, the same type of killing. Therefore, Rav Nechunya ben Akonim says, if when courts kill you, you don't have to pay damages because you get death instead, the same thing when you get kares, you also don't have to pay damages.
But that's not the halacha, is it?
The halacha is like Rav Nechunya ben Akonim, by the way. So he says, Ma misa shalochem, this is what he says. Just like your death, when Beis Din kills, but you don't have to pay, av kares shali, the same thing when I kill you, the Gemara says, patim in atashlumim, you also don't have to pay. So this is what the Gemara says.
Didn't we learn if this punishment is karas, we don't have to pay?
That's the Nechunya ben Akonim's opinion. But Amishna disagrees with that. Amishna says, a guy rapes his sister, right? Even though he's going to get karis, he still has to pay the money. So Gemara says, Nechunya ben Akonim disagrees with our Mishnah. Because he holds, even in a case where there's karis, you don't have to pay damages. I'll give you an example. Gemara is going to talk about this later. If you eat on Yom Kippur, the punishment is karis. Yeah? I mean, it's not correct what I'm saying, but there's an example the Gemara gives later and refutes it. So what happens on Yom Kippur, if I steal your food, you get a nice, good sandwich, and on Yom Kippur, I take your sandwich and eat it. So because I ate on Yom Kippur, the punishment is karas. Right? I don't have to pay you for the sandwich. That's what Rav Nechunya ben Akonim holds. Our Mishnah says, no. If Beis Din kills you, then you get the bigger punishment. But if Hashem kills you, you still have to pay for it. So later on, the Gemara is going to quote this, and the Gemara is going to ask a question. No, 1 minute. It's not simultaneously. Because you steal it when you pick it up. The second I pick it up, I stole it. And when I eat it, I get karis. So it's not simultaneously. So the Gemara is going to answer, the guy doesn't pick it up. He takes down, he bends down his mouth and eats it like that. But these are examples. Or if I eat your chametz on Pesach, you own chametz, which is not really impossible because, let's say a goy's chametz, right? Because a Jew doesn't own chametz on Pesach, it's worthless. But let's say a goy has chametz, and I eat his chametz on Pesach, so I get karis. if it's possible to be simultaneously, I don't have to pay for, according to Rabbi Chunin ben Akana, you don't have to pay for it. The Chachamim of our Mishnah, which is a mayor, says you do have to pay for it by Karis.
What is the logic of it?
The logic of what?
That, like, if there is a karet, and then it doesn't have to go, it has to pay. Or Beit Din has to go, not to pay. What is the sevara?
That what? Bechlal of Kim Leibed Ramine, or what's the difference
between?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. It makes sense to say that, you know.
Do we say when Beit Din kills somebody, they die right away, but Karas could be up to 860?
Up to 50, 60, yeah. 60. No.
And meanwhile, all these years, he's going without pain.
See, the din of Kimle Bedrabimine, it's the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. Okay? We mentioned it last time. If a guy... Two men are fighting, remember? Two men are fighting, and they bang up a pregnant woman, and she miscarriages. Okay? So it says, im velo yia asein, if there will not be a fatality, then they have to pay money for the fetus. Right? That's what the Torah says. It means if the woman doesn't die, you have to pay the value of the fetus. And I know we didn't discuss this too much last time. If somebody kills a fetus, yeah, it's not a living person yet. Because even after a baby's born, and there's a difference between a Jew and a guy. If somebody kills a baby, mamish murder a baby, 10 days old, 20 days old, 25 days old.
Born
already. Not pregnant. Yeah? A guy kills a 25-year-old, day-old baby. They don't get capital punishment.
Oh.
Why? Because in 30 days, up to 30 days, like you do a pinyon about in the 31st day, because then you know the kid's going to live as a chazak of being alive. Right? Up to 30 days, you don't know for sure the kid is going to live. So you can't kill a guy for killing something that might not even be living. You know opinion, Aben?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, you do it when?
30 days.
31st day.
31st.
Why do you have to wait 30 days?
We don't know, it's like a lawyer.
Right, so I'm saying, because the client's coming and say, you owe me money, 5 shekels, right? 5 silver shekels. Technically, the guy could say, how do you know this kid's going to live? Up to 30 days, a baby that dies is no availus, there's no nothing, because there's no chazaka yet of it being alive. The baby, God forbid, dies after 30 days, then you have a mourning period, avelus, you know, shiva, all the other things. Less than 30 days, you don't have to, no. What happens if somebody beats up a pregnant woman and she miscarriages? You don't get capital punishment, okay? Because the kid's not born yet. How much damages do you have to pay? So the difference is how much a pregnant woman is worth being pregnant versus how much less she'd be without being pregnant. That is the value of the fetus. What does that mean? It's interesting. The value of people, how it works according to the slave market. And tell you this, is go by the slave market. A guy who's buying slaves would rather buy a pregnant woman. She's more valuable because she's going to have a baby, so she has 2 slaves. Right? So the question is, how much a pregnant woman is more valuable than a non-pregnant woman? So let's say this is worth $100, this is worth $50. So the baby is worth $50. So you have to pay $50. Right? That's what the Torah says. But the Torah says, when do you have to pay that? If the woman doesn't die. If the mother doesn't die. That means the mother died, but she miscarried. What happens, the Torah said, because the Torah says, if there won't be an accident to the mother, then you have to pay damages. Which means, if the mother would die, you don't have to pay damages. Why? Because the Torah said, Bezdin kills you, If you kill somebody, Bezin kills you, correct? So therefore, she doesn't have to, the guy doesn't have to pay for the kid, because the Torah says, Kim le b'drabba mine.
But it was accidental.
Okay, we're speaking though, whatever. Okay. Technically, it could be intentional. They were fighting, so it's intentional. Now, 1 second. Yeah, the Gzeisa Kosov. But where does the Torah say it? By murder, which is Bezdin killing you. So the Chachamim hold, not Reb Nachumim ben Hakana, the Chachamim, Rabbi, whoever it is, holds the fact that the Torah tells us this new din. Because the Cheda, because I get killed, why should you lose out the money I owe you? There's a cause. The Torah says this is it. Okay? But where does the Torah say it? By murder, that Bezdin kills you. The Torah doesn't say by when God kills you. Okay? So therefore the Chachamim hold, the din of Kim Lei Bidrabamine, meaning you give him the bigger of the punishments, only applies, the Chachamim say, when Bezdin kills you. Because that's what the Torah says it. The Mechunim ben Hakana comes along and says, no. Even when the God kills you, it's the same. So Gemara said, where does he know that from? Because that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, by murder, you don't have to pay the punishment, the fine. But where does the Torah... So the Gemara, Abai answered, here it says, Asein, here it says, Asein, Gzeir Shava, just like in Bezdin, it says, Asein, and therefore you don't have to pay. So it's exactly a kosev. You're right. It's a chiddush that even when God kills you, you don't have to get. That's what Abayi said. But Rava says another thing. The pasuk says, by the Torah says, if the Bezdin will not kill the guy who brought a son to Melech, Tavid Zara, then I will kill him. So again, Hashem is likening his killing to Bezdin's killing, and Bezdin's killing to his killing. Therefore, just like when Bezdin kills you, you don't have to pay the damages. Right? Same thing with God kills you, also not.
How do we know we don't have to pay according to Rava?
No, that by Bezdin kills you, everybody says. That's from the pasuk. On, you know, by the pregnant woman. But he says, from the Melech story, the Torah says like this, if Bezdin doesn't kill, I'll kill. So Hashem is likening his killing to Bezdin's killing. Therefore Rava says, if when Bezdin kills you, you don't have to pay damages. So when Hashem kills you, Karis, you also don't have to pay damages. Abai and Rava, in fact, Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between Abai and Rava? Both are saying that there are psukim that liken Karis, God's killing the person, to Bezdin's killing the person. Abai says, here it says Asin, here it says Asin. And Rava says, because by Yahweh Dezora, Hashem says, if you don't kill him, I'm going to kill him. So we're likening Bezdin to Hashem. So Gemara says like this, Ma'ika ben Rava la'abaya. But now there's another interesting thing, I have to tell one more thing. We just spoke about Karis. There's another capital punishment from heaven called Misa Bidei Shemayim. You die young. Now, what's the difference between Karis and Misa Bidei Shemayim? Certain Avedis, it's Karis. But like you said, I'll give you an example. A non-Kohen that eats Truma. A non-Kohen that eats Truma. You're not allowed to. What's the punishment? Hashem, it's called Misa B'dei Shemayim. God kills you.
No time limit to
it. No. 1 second. 1 second. Now, what's the difference between Misa B'dei Shemayim and Karis?
Time limit.
There's two things. What's interesting about it is there's an argument between Bavel and Yerushalmi. One of them says, Misa B'dei Shemayim is 50 and Karis is 60. And the other opinion says the opposite. Karis is 50 and Misa B'dei Shemayim is 60. But there's another difference. It says that sometimes the dying childless is also Karis. Okay, like it says, Misa B'dei Shemayim, this is what our Gemara told me, Misa B'dei Shemayim is lesser punishment of heaven than Karis is. Why? Because Karis affects your kids too. They'll be childless. And Misa B'dei Shemayim, the kids are not affected. So which punishment is worse?
What?
Karis is, you completely cut off. your children will die, according to certain opinions, or you'll remain childless before you die. Misa B'dei Shemayim and Karis, it doesn't, none of these stuff applies today, but there's no Karis today, there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim today. Now, Tanav explains in Gias Tshuva, why not? Okay, but there's two, Karis is worse. Karis affects you, the person, and his children.
Also, like the Chomes Bepesa, it's more severe, no?
Yeah. That's what it's saying. The Gemara is saying, Kares is a stricter heavenly death than Misa B'dei Shemayim. Right? Now, the punishment of the Melech, that God says, if Bezdin doesn't kill him, I'm going to kill him. What punishment is God killing him? Karis. So if Rava learns it out from Karis, that's only because it's a stricter punishment. Therefore, you don't have to pay money. But how do you know Misa B'dei Shemayim, when God kills you, which is not as strict as Karis, maybe you do have to pay money. But Abaya says, us in any heavenly thing versus any earthly thing is the same. So according to Abaya, whether it's Misa B'dei Shemayim or Karis, according to the Nechunya ben Akoni, you wouldn't have to pay the damages. But according to Rava, if it's Misa B'dei Shemayim, you would have to do it. So therefore, where do you have halacha difference? And the Gemara is going to say, it's going to be an interesting thing now. If an azar, meaning a non-Kohen, eats truma. That means, like I said, I eat your truma. You're a Kohen. I'm not a Kohen. You have truma. I come and eat your truma. $10 worth of your truma, right? No, I get karis because I'm not a kohen and I eat truma, right? Do I have to pay you the $10? I'm sorry, the punishment of karis. The truma is Misa B'dei Shemayim. That's what I'm saying. According to Abaya, there's no difference between karis and Misa B'dei Shemayim. So just like Nechunya ben Akon holds, by karis there's no punishment, no money. By Misa B'dei Shemayim there's also no payment. So then I wouldn't have to pay. According to Rava, that learns it out from Melech, which is Karis, then Misa B'dei Shemayim, you would have to pay. So that's what the Gemara is. What's the difference between Abai and Rava if we learn it out from Asin, which means any punishment in God is equal to punishment of Bezdin, or we learn it out from Melech where the punishment is Karis? So the Gemara says, Ika Benayu, Zar Sha'echel Truma, where the punishment is Misa B'dei Shemayim, not Karis, Misa B'dei Shemayim. So Labaya, according to Abaya, according to Nechunya ben Akana, he would be potter. Because Abaya holds any asin, any death from God frees you from payment. But according to Rava, he'd have to pay, because according to Rava, it's only Karis that frees you from money, not Misa B'dei Shemayim. Okay? But now the Gemara says a very simple question. Well, Abaya potter, how could Abaya say you're potter from paying? V'omer avchistam, 30b2, you got it, sir?
Yes.
Okay. V'omer avchistam, meide Reb Nechunya ben Akona holds, begain ev chelbe shel chaveire ve'ochlo shu chayiv. Okay, this is what we were talking about before. You know, certain fats of certain animals, chelev, you get karis if you eat it. And it's only from kosher animals, right? Yeah. You get karis. So the Chista says that the Nechunya ben Akona maintains that if I steal your chalev and eat it, even though the punishment is karis for eating it, you still have to pay money. You know why? Because I stole it before I ate it. You just said that before. When did I steal it? When I picked it up. When do I get karis? When I eat it, that's afterwards. What, in other words, this whole concept of kim lebe d'rabba minei, that you get the strong of the punishment when things happen simultaneously. But if I steal it and 5 minutes later I eat it, then I get both.
How do you know it has to be at the same time? Maybe a few minutes later is okay. He does it and then in order to do that. How do we know it has to be?
Because the place we learn it out from, the pregnant woman, it's simultaneously. The only time you get capital punishment versus money, that you don't pay money, that's only if they happen simultaneously. Then the Torah says, listen, you did one act, it's very logical also, you did one act that gets you two punishments. Right? So therefore, you're getting one act gets two punishments, we give you them both, we give you one. Which one? The bigger one. But if I do one act, and I do another act, why should one punishment count get me for two? Why should it? It's two different acts. So the Gemara says, according to Abai, we just got to saying, that a Yisrael that eats truma, right, because it's, even though it's Mitzvah Deshmei, he doesn't have to pay. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. Because when he stole it, he picked it up when he acquired it. Right? When I stole your truma, first I pick it up, and then I eat it. So it's not simultaneous. That's what he says. If somebody steals chalef, which the punishment is kares, and that he still has to pay. Why? Because he's liable for stealing kedem shabali day isayichele before he ate it. First you steal it, and then you eat it. Alma meidne the agbis. What do we see from that din? When the guy picked up the chalev, akne he acquired it. Vulei mischayev benafshe, but he's not obligated to get killed at the ochle until he eats it. So it's not simultaneous. So Gemara says, Hachanami, the same thing should be over here. Be'idna the agbe, when the guy picked up the truma from the kohen, the Yisrael, who's eating the truma, right? When he picks it up from the kohen, he acquires it then, that's when he stole it. Mizchai ben afshe lehava, but he doesn't get misa b'dei shemayim until he eats it. So why does Abaye say, in the case of a zor that eats truma, that he would have to not pay, l'chayim would have to pay, because it's not simultaneous. Sigmar says like this. It's unbelievable. Hachamayaski, you know what the case is? The guy stuffed it down your throat. So what, you never acquired it until you ate it.
Somebody else stuffed it down.
Yeah. So when did you steal it? When you ate it. Not before, you didn't touch it. The guy stuffed it down your throat, and therefore you don't have to pay. He didn't acquire it.
Why somebody else, he himself did it?
No, because when he picks it up to put it in the mouth, he already acquired it.
I would think even if you pick
it
up...
No, he said it in the mouth.
No, no, later the Gemara's going to answer. I'm saying now the Gemara is saying something... I told you what the Gemara says later. No, because the Gemara refused to censor.
It's part of the same act. Somebody wants to eat something, they have to pick it up to eat it.
No, but if I want to eat it, and I say, stuff it down my throat. In other words, the Gemara is saying like this. Abaye would agree. If the Yisrael picked up the truma and then ate it, he would have to pay for the truma.
Let me ask you a question. If somebody just puts his head down and eats somebody's food belongings that belong to somebody else, that's not considered stealing?
Sure it is.
So, but he ate it at the same time.
Yeah, I understand. So there's no punishment for eating kosher food. I mean, here we're talking the guy ate truma.
If he put his head down and ate it, he stole it too.
Correct. But over there he's not getting any other punishment. He's not getting killed. He has to pay for the food. He has to pay for the food. There's only one punishment there. Here we're talking the guy's eating truma. And that deserves capital, or chalev. That deserves capital punishment. So the Gemara answers, you're right. If the guy picked up the truma or the chalev and then ate it, even Rabbi Nuchunim and Akana would hold, you have to pay, because it's not simultaneous. Where do you have a case? This is what I was trying to figure out. Where do you have a case of eating and stealing simultaneously? So Gemara says, somebody stuffs it down your mouth. So Gemara says, soft. It's still not the same. Because, kiven the la'asi kanye, when you chew it, you acquire it, but mischayev benafshe le'ava at the bone until you swallow it. Gemara says like this. If I chew food, I don't get capital punishment yet. Until you swallow it. What's eating? Swallow. Eating is swallowing. Correct? If somebody chews food on Yom Kippur and spits it out, it doesn't get karas. If a Zar, a Yisrael, chews truma but doesn't swallow it, he doesn't get misa v'dei shamayim. But the Gemara is saying like this, if a guy stuffs it into your mouth, when you chew it, you stole it, but you don't get misa until you swallow it. So again, it's not simultaneously. Two different acts. So the Gemara says, okay, the guy stuffed it down into your throat, so there's no chewing. The Gemara's question is, chewing makes you quiet and swallowing makes, it could be liquid, the Mepharshim explained it, it's liquid.
But is there another halacha that if you have multiple averos and you don't get multiple punishments, because then you take the highest, the most severe punishment? Right, no. So let's say, for example,
one second. If a guy eats chazer.
And then truma.
No. A guy eats chazer. No, then it's two separate.
And cooks it on Shabbat.
No.
Two separate things, but then when you
You're mixing up two things. If there's two deaths simultaneously, you get the stricter of the deaths. Because you can't get killed twice. Right. Guy did an avera that is skila and chenek together. Okay? I'll give you an example. A guy commits adultery with a married woman when she's a nida. No, that's karis. Okay, whatever it is, that one punishment would be skila and one punishment would be sreifa. You can't get killed twice. So what do you kill the guy with? The worst of the two. Here we're talking about getting killed and payment for one act. I did one act that gets me killed and payment. Okay? So everybody agrees if Beis Din kills you, you don't pay. When God kills you, Rav Nochon ben Akana says you don't pay, the Chachamim hold you do pay. Then according to Abayin Rav, it would be a difference if you eat, if it's Misa B'dei Shemayim and not Misa B'dei Shemayim. You know, that same thing. Now, but if a guy does, let's say he eats 1 ounce of pig and 1 ounce of pig, he's going to get double lashes. He's going to get 39 times 2.
Each time he does that.
Each time he eats another kazayis, he's going to get 39 lashes.
So what, chazer and truma, they're both...
But chazer is only malchus. Oh. Truma is capital punishment from heaven.
Okay, so if he does one and then the other, what do you
do? Then you do both. That's what the Gemara is asking.
Right.
When you chew it, you steal it. And when you swallow it, you get karis. So why should you just get karis and not pay it? Even according to Chun ben Akon, you should have to pay it. Because they're not simultaneously. So the Gemara says the guy stuffs it down into your throat. So then you didn't chew it. So you're acquiring it while you're eating it. But the Gemara says, 1 minute, that also doesn't make sense. Can the guy throw it up or not? Can the guy vomit it? Gemara says like this, Hei chidami. He, the matzila adurei, it says like this, the guy stuffs truma down your throat. Right? Yeah, so the question is like this, if you're able to ladurei to spit it back up, neheder, let him do it. And if he didn't, if he did it, in other words, like this. When the guy sticks something down your throat, you didn't swallow it yet. Right? Swallowing was going into your stomach. Now, the guy stuffs it down your throat, so you're not chewing. But if you're able to spit it out, and you didn't, then you stole it in your throat, and karis is coming, or mitzvah b'dei shamayim, when you swallow it. Again, it's not simultaneous. The Gemara says, if he's not able to spit it up, why is he chayiv? It was forced. He was forced to eat it. The guy stuffed it down his throat.
But if he didn't know, and they told him wrong, that it's not truma. What if somebody...
So then he wouldn't get bichayev either.
Right. Not the it.
He, not he stole willingly, and not he ate truma willingly.
He didn't know.
No, the guy was being, the guy forced him.
That he knew.
No, it wouldn't be, it was against his will. If anything, he brings on here at the bottom, the whole question over here is, L'chayda, the guy that stuffed it down your throat is stealing, not you. There's a whole thing over here. Okay. At the moment he doesn't bring it back up, he's damaging it. Okay? Now. This is very crazy eating scenarios. Rashi explains over here. The first guy didn't damage the truma. First guy didn't damage the truma. Because if it's possible to spit it up, yeah, then and that's not gross. So then it's the first guy didn't steal.
How can it be in the
No, he says like this.
Nobody would eat that anymore.
The guy who thrust it into his throat did not actually do anything to the truma, that because it didn't have to be swallowed. So he has no liability, okay? The first guy.
But there is a satira, then there is not eating, because we said if you swallow it, then it's eating. It's not chewing. And it doesn't make sense. What is the point? And there is no story.
No, but the question is, he's damaging the goods. The guy just swallows it. Somebody stuffs food down your throat. It's still, you're able to spit it up. It means it didn't get ruined. Okay? The fact that he didn't steal. But he's liable for damaging it. Rashi's problem over here, what Rashi's explaining, there's a problem over here. If I stuff food down your throat, truma, that means I take his truma, he's a kohen, I take his truma and stuff it down your throat. Right? So over there, the Gemara says, the eating and the stealing is simultaneously. Correct? You're eating it and stealing it at the same time. So the sin of karis and payment is simultaneous. But if you stop to think for a minute, why isn't the guy that stuffed it down your throat, he should be obligated to pay, not me? I mean, I should have to pay, not you. Why are we discussing that by me stuffing the food down your mouth, it's simultaneous eating and stealing? Yeah? So ask you a minute, why am I not obligated for I stuffed it down your throat.
Maybe he didn't.
So you didn't steal it, I stole it.
Maybe he didn't do micha, he didn't say.
What?
Maybe he agreed.
Yeah. I stole his truma and fed it to you.
Yeah, but I took it. If I want to know, I don't want my clothes, man.
No. So he says like this. The first guy didn't damage the truma. I stuffed it down your throat, it's still usable. You could spit it up. Therefore, did I damage his goods? I didn't damage his goods.
He caused it to be damaged.
No. You could spit it up. It's not damaged.
So it's not stealing yet?
No. Who damages it? When I decide to swallow it. So then it's me damaging and getting me Sibidei Shemayim at the same time.
If someone takes something, it's not a stealing? I put in your mouth.
But we're not talking about stealing, we're talking about damaging. He damaged his truma. That's what Rashi is explaining. No questions, it's stealing. Okay, but let's leave it at that. So the Gemara says like this. And if the guy stuffed it down, then he's a forest. So why is he chayiv? So the Gemara answers like this. Leitzricha, the matla duri aidei atchak. He could bring it back with difficulty. Meaning, it still would be repulsive. In other words, you could spit it up. But you damaged it already because it's repulsive. The fact that I decided to swallow it makes me simultaneous at the same time.
Who? The one that ate it?
The guy that ate it and the guy who had it stuffed down his throat. That's what the Gemara answers. Because it's not a theft, but it's damaging.
But that was not his intent. He didn't intend to do that. That doesn't come to...
But that's simultaneously. Because it was simultaneous now. Because when did I damage it? When I decided not to spit it up. But that's what that proper answer is a different answer, a cute answer. You know why he's speaking? Liquid truma. He stuffed down your throat. So when you swallow it, you're cleaning it and you're damaging it at the same time. And you get mitzvah b'dei shemayim. Another answer, Rav Avashi says, you know why the guy doesn't have to pay? I'll tell you an example. A guy who's a Yisrael ate his own truma. How do you have a Yisrael that has truma? So it's very simple.
He separated it, but he didn't...
No, it belongs to the Kohen. Then it's not truma until you... You know what it is? It belongs to him, he's not stealing. How? He inherited it from his mother's father who was a Kohen. His mother's father was a Kohen. Right, because if he's a Kohen, it's not a problem. His mother was the daughter of a Kohen. The grandfather died. He inherited the truma. And he ate it. So of course he doesn't have to pay damages. Because he ate his own stuff.
If you separate the truma, it's yours until you give it to somebody. Isn't it?
No, Yerusha is automatic.
Can you inherit the truma that you're not allowed to have? What do you do? If it belongs to a parent, how could he even inherit it? That's possible.
His mother's
fault. Truma is financial money of a possession of a Kohen. Truma don't... Kohenim used to sell truma to other Kohenim. Truma, you have to understand, truma... As far as market value was cheap. Supply and demand. The only ones that are allowed to eat truma is a kohen. How many kohenim are there already? So the market value of truma is minimal. Okay? So what happens, Moshe, there's a famous kohen. So he gets a lot of truma. And another, simple kohen doesn't get a lot of truma. This kohen who has a lot of truma doesn't need all of it. What would he do? He would sell it to, he can't sell it to Yisrael, because he can't eat it. Can't benefit from it. So he'll sell it to another kohen for cheap. But it's the money of a kohen, it's his personal property. A levi's meiser. There's no kedusha to meiser, by the way. When a levi gets to 10%, anybody could eat. It's financially it belongs to the levi. But anybody could eat. There's no kedusha by mice. By truma, only a kohen could eat truma.
So how can he give Yerusha if to Israel if he's a kohen? Doesn't belong to Israel. How can he give it to Yerusha? Doesn't belong to him. He cannot tell.
The financial aspect of it. Can this grandson sell this truma to a kohen?
Yeah, but not to Israel.
So sell to a kohen.
But he's giving it to Israel, transferring it to Yerusha to Israel.
So what?
But a non-kohen can own truma?
Yeah.
That was what I was
asking. I'm saying, that's the case. Listen, a Yisrael could buy truma in the market too.
Then but he can't eat it.
He can't eat it.
Having it is no problem.
Right.
Selling, eating it.
Eating it.
Okay.
So the Kohen can sell the extra excess truma, get cash, and then give the cash to Israel to buy whatever.
Yeah, but that's not the case Gemara is talking about. The grandfather had truma because we're talking about the Zer that ate truma.
Right. But that's possible. That case is possible, right?
Yeah.
Kohen with cash and then distribute back to the
the money. Israeli. Yes. No, but I'm saying Yerusha is automatic.
Yeah.
You inherit automatically. It doesn't even. Okay, you go there and automatically you get it. So let's say this grandfather was a Kohen. Yeah. And the mother was the only child. And she died before her father, let's say. Okay? What happens if a Kohen dies? And he had a daughter, or he had sons who all died, and they didn't have kids. A Kohen has a daughter, yeah? So normally she would get it, right? But she can't eat truma because she's married to a non-Yisroel. I mean, non-Kohen, correct? Because if she would be married to a Kohen, this guy would be a Kohen. So who gets all the truma that he inherited? He does. He can't eat it, but he could sell it. But it's his. A Yisrael is allowed to own truma. He can't eat it.
So what is the true punishment here?
No, that Rav Ashi is just saying, he's not going to the... He's saying, what's the difference between Abaye and Rava? Okay? What's the difference? So he said, the difference is, first the Gemara said that a guy, a czar, ate truma, if he has to potter, chayv. He said, no, there's another difference. A czar, Ravash, this is what Ravashi's saying. When the difference between Abaye and Rava, whether it's any punishment, he says, it's, here it's speaking about that,
Israel, it is on
the truma. Yerusha. He says it's only a liability for incidental damages, not for the truma. Other damages, other things. Not for the truma itself, because it belongs to him. No, 1 second. Oh, I didn't finish this. What happened? He ate truma of his own, the kara shiroin shachaveda, and simultaneously he tore his fellow's garments. I know something that wasn't done. But the guy did like this. This kid, who's a Yisrael, ate truma. We're not talking about the theft for truma. While he was eating it, he ripped somebody's garment. Simultaneously, he did both things together. But the problem is, he brings out the bottom interesting thing. Rava says in Sanhedrin that if there's death and money, it's only if it's the same person. He says, for instance, two liability for crime against different people. If there was against two different people, then death doesn't free you from paying the second guy. So the Chayyur Rav Ashi says he's eating truma and he's ripping somebody else's garment. As two different people. So according to Rav, he would have to pay anyway. But Rav Ashi disagrees with Rav and he says he does have to pay with it. He would have to pay for it. Which is interesting because Rav and Rav Ashi obviously would be arguing Because according to Rava, in Sanhedrin, not here, if a guy ate truma, and while he was eating truma, ripped somebody else's garment, he would have to pay the other guy. Because, yes, simultaneous, but it's two different people. You're getting one punishment of Karis, and the guy has to get a different payment. But Rav Ashi argues, and he would hold that simultaneously he would still be potter.
So that's a machloket of Chav Sala Gavra, yeah?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah. He said because normally like this, if I eat somebody else's truma, this would explain it better. If I eat somebody else's truma, that's truma itself is getting me death and payment. It's the same food that gets me two simultaneous punishments. Right? That you have kim lebed rabimine. But if I'm eating something, and while I'm doing it, I'm tearing somebody else's garment, Rav says, why is that kimle b'drabamine? This is one guy and this is another guy. It's like, that's it. So Rav Ashi, the Mar says, this disagrees with Rav. Okay, we'll leave it here. Now starts a whole new Gemara.